It's Saturday of the third week of Lent. Welcome to today's Lentcast. This is Father John Zulsdorf. Our Roman station today is Santa Susanna. Saint Susanna seems to have been a relative of Diocletian and was the niece of Pope Gaius. Diocletian wanted her to marry, and, as is often the case with Rome and virgin martyrs, she was a Christian who had made a vow of virginity. In 296, Diocletian killed her father and her uncle, the Pope, and also Susanna, whose head was chopped off in her family home. Santa Susanna, the church, may be one of those old house churches that we've heard so much about. It was already a place of worship by 330, and it was called St. Susanna by the 7th century. It was, like all Roman churches, restored several times over the many centuries of its life. There was a major reconstruction under Sixtus IV. At that time, the church stood in a rather degraded area, pretty much abandoned, and becoming rural again. Sixtus V, in the late 16th century, he'll be the last to have that name, Sixtus, was a great city planner and builder. He built the great fountain with the statue of Moses that stands across the street from the church in a bid to bring people back to the area. He was providing fresh water, and that was the lure. The facade of St. Susanna by Carlo Maderno in 1603 impressed Rome so much that he was given the job of the facade of the new Basilica of St. Peter on the Vatican Hill. Next door to Santa Susanna is the little church Santa Maria della Vittoria, Our Lady of Victory. In here you will find Bernini's astonishing statue of St. Teresa in ecstasy. In the extraordinary form of the Roman Rite today, the first reading is a long account from the Old Testament about Susanna, surprised by wicked men while taking her bath. They falsely accuse her of adultery when she would not accede to their nefarious desires. So the gospel reading is the tale of the adulteress brought before Christ. I'm sensing a theme. How carefully we must tread in life and be wary of those who would cause us to sin. And when we do fall in sin, we must come back to God in confession. We always have a merciful Savior in Christ Jesus our Lord. Bernard Law was the cardinal of this church until his death in 2017. And for a long time, it was the Church of the Americans, the United States, in Rome. It's been since moved to San Patrizio. The ultimate heresy of the Reformation was the divorce of sacrifice and sacrament, or the transformation of the sacrifice of the Mass into a communion service, as if there could be giving of life without death. Is there not in the Eucharist not only a communion with life, but also a communion with death? Paul did not overlook this aspect. So it is the Lord's death that you are heralding whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup until he comes. 1 Corinthians 11:26. If we at Mass eat and drink of the divine love, and bring no death of our own to incorporate into the death of Christ through sacrifice, we deserve to be thought of as parasites on the mystical body of Christ. Shall we eat bread and give no wheat to be ground? Shall we drink wine and give no grapes to be crushed? The condition for incorporation into the resurrection and ascension of Christ and into his glorification is incorporation into his death. As priests, we offer Christ in the Mass, but as victims, do we offer ourselves with Christ in the Mass? Shall we tear asunder that which God has joined, namely priesthood and victimhood? Bolton Sheen.